This is Near FM
90.3.
Now, on the line, I have John Weldon, and he is president of Optometry Ireland. And we spoke about, I don't know, about a few months ago anyway, on roughly the same subject, and I've spoken on roughly the same subject for, I'd say, about the last two, maybe 3 years. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, listeners. I'm very well, thanks. I hope you're enjoying better weather in the East Coast than we are here in Galway. It's a wet and grey morning this morning.
Oh, well, we're expecting it. It's dull here, but the when I came into studio anyway, it hadn't started to rain, but we're expecting it. It's on its way to us.
Yeah, unfortunately so. At least skin's watertight, we should be safe.
John, we spoke, as I say, we spoke a few months ago on this, mm-hmm. and I've spoken to a few people over the last number of years on this, particularly on the very successful Sligo contract scheme, which still hasn't been rolled out. But, you know, there are a number of other things that should be happening, that we should be bringing into the community. Can you just run through some of them for us?
Yeah, well, I suppose the overriding thing, Michael, for all of us is we want to see better outcomes for all of our citizens and all of our patients. And as you rightly say, you know, we had a proven and awarded shared care scheme for our cataract patients in the Northwest, which was awarded a healthcare innovation by the HSE the year after it was launched. And we want to try hard to improve our patients' lives and life quality and outcomes. And at the other end of the scale, at the age scale, we think about our young people. And particularly for children, we know that all of our young people all through COVID have spent increasingly larger amounts of time in front of display screen equipment, whether it be laptops, tablets, computer monitors, television, etc. And we know that that can be impactful on their sight and their visual development. And we'd like to see a reinstatement of the children's school screening program, which, of course, since our previous recession, went by the wayside.
Yeah, I think I heard, is it Noreen speaking about that?
Yeah, I think that it's widely throughout society that we want to try and make life a little bit better for everyone. And we now recognise and acknowledge that a lot of our young people are having more difficulties with their eyes and sight than perhaps older folks like myself. For example, in a class of 30 children when I was in national school age, it might have been myself and one other person that required an optical correction through glasses or contact lenses. In the same group of national school kids now, it's 12 or 13 out of that 30.
And am I right in saying that you're calling on that very young children, you know, children I think under two, shouldn't be using screens and, at all, you know, on phones and laptops and things like that?
Yeah, well, that's actually accepted international knowledge at the present time, Michael, that they should avoid excessive screen use. And I think intuitively we all know that in as much as perhaps our diet needs to be rich and balanced and varied, so does our input via our eyes need to be balanced and varied. And the international research tells us that, you know, we are better to have our young people out running up the fields or chasing a slipper or something like that rather than parked in front of an electronic babysitter, as my mother used to call them.
Indeed. So, but you're also calling for optometrists, you know, but we'll call them budding optometrists who are in training, to actually do some rotations in hospitals as well.
Absolutely, Michael, and increasingly, particularly highlighted throughout the COVID time, if you had a problem with your eye, a red eye, sore eye, or watery or sticky eye, and you rang your GP practice, they would automatically send you to your local optometrist in the community. Of course, we have the equipment the skills and talent, and it's within our qualification to manage those cases. And really, to help manage those things better, we would like our undergraduate optometrists to spend more time with our colleagues in hospital, where they can be exposed to a much greater diversity of work. I think it's really important, and I spent a good bit of time in hospital myself, in training and after training, working alongside ophthalmology colleagues and learning the treatments and learning the outcomes of surgical procedures, and really improving what interventions are most appropriate to help our patients have a better sight and a better quality of life.
Sorry, John, having a little bit of a difficulty hearing you, so I'm going to have to phone you back.
Okay.
So if you could just give me a couple of minutes and I'll phone
you
back.
No problem.
Okay. Now, sorry about that. We had that problem there while we were on to John Weldon. John, my apologies. It must have been our end here. I don't know exactly what it was, the problem, but it seems to be fixed now anyway.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's good to be with you. I can hear you loud and clear.
That's great. Now, John, we were chatting about the optometry students doing a rotation in in hospitals. I think it's a brilliant idea. And one would ask the question, why aren't they doing it?
Yeah, well, it was certainly aspirational from the point of view of when the optometry course, which was originally lectured on in the Kevin Street campus of DIT, when they moved across the river to the campus in Grange Gorman, the fantastic new facilities that they have there. It was planned for all students in optometry during their undergraduate years to spend a period of time in hospital. That's tremendously valuable in your training, because you get to see firsthand all the different types of eye problems and diseases and pathology, but also, nearly more importantly, the appropriate triaging, treatment and outcomes for all of those patients. So it's a really fantastic way to broaden one's own training and experience.
And a thing that's coming from my own background, what it also does, it's a great way of creating networks.
Yeah.
And people meeting.
Absolutely, you're so correct in that, Michael. And when we look at how healthcare delivery modelling has changed over the last 100 years, 50 years, and in particularly in the last recent decades, when we look at other countries around the world, particularly our neighbours in continental Europe, for example, the Scandinavian countries and Germany, for example, our colleagues in Germany all eye care procedures, so whether it be a cataract procedure or an intravitreal injection or squint surgery or other remedial surgeries, the longest waiting list in Germany is less than a month.
What would it be here?
Well, depending on what procedure you're waiting for, one of the most common procedures we perform in Ireland is cataract, because we all develop cataract in our eyes as we get older. And if you live in the southwest, in Cork and Kerry, it can be 4 to 5 years. If you live in the Midlands, it can be 3, perhaps 4 years. In our own region, HSE West, centred around Galway, again, it's 2 to 3 years. So that's a long time to be without your sight.
It is, and it's something I said, and this is going, and if I look at young people, as you mentioned about young people in schools, and you know, if you have a child who's growing up and they have an eye problem or any sort of problem, when you hear that a child's been told that they have to wait 12 months or 24 months, you go, you know, what are people thinking? You know, what are those who are at the helm there thinking that people can wait that long? That's just, you know, it's a lifetime for a young person.
Yeah.
And the same way at the other end, for someone who is in their, we'll call it in their 70s, to tell them they're going to have to wait 5 years or 3 years is crazy.
Yeah. I think you've really hit the nail on the head there, Michael. And for us, it's a quality of life issue. And if we think about the children, not only as a professional serving the health and social care professions, but also as a dad, if your child has something that needs fixing, well, you want it fixed now. You don't want to be told you're going to be waiting. And unfortunately, as we've seen with other medical disciplines, for example, in spinal scoliosis, children are being left waiting so long for surgical intervention that the intervention, when it does arrive, has to be a lot more severe and is a lot more complex. So we think about children who have an eye problem. There's a common eye problem called amblyopia, where one eye is developing not quite perfectly. It's very treatable, it's very manageable, and it's very easy to improve, provided the intervention is timely and appropriate. And our colleagues in the local community, all of our optometrists are qualified and trained to spot this, deal with it and manage it, and then refer on should it be necessary for medical intervention. And we don't understand why those children are being left by the wayside.
And as you mentioned, when you leave these things go, it's more complicated to fix it when you let it go, and it costs more. It just, you know, and you're talking tenfold it costs more to fix it.
Absolutely, Michael. And unfortunately, if the service isn't delivered appropriately, ultimately, if damage happens as a result, then usually the government and the HSE are sued, and if there's no defence, there's usually a payout. And whilst it's unfortunate for somebody to arrive in that situation, we believe that those monies and those expenses would be better employed at the start of the journey to improve the service delivery rather than pay for the solicitor's bills and litigation.
And am I right, excuse me, am I right in saying this was all part of Sláinte Care, moving out to community professionals, we'll call it?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And Sláinte Care, as you might be well aware, has been a central component of health policy delivery for the previous two programmes of government. And we're now 4.5 years into what was a 10-year programme. And the goals and aims of Sláinte Care are absolutely ideal and modelled on international best practice, in that making the services much more available, much more readily accessible, locally provided in a community setting. We know from international best practice that that has a profoundly positive impact on reducing waiting lists, a tremendous impact on improving service delivery, and ultimately, which is what we all want, better outcomes for all of our patients.
Now, I'm going to say something, and you don't have to answer if you think it's a bit too politically charged, but when I hear something like this and I'm looking at it and I'm saying that, you know, if we go down this route, we're going to have better outcomes for people, people a lot happier, it'll work out a lot cheaper, one says to yourself, why the hell wouldn't this happen? And then you go, look, well, whose interest is keeping the status quo at the moment? So who's benefiting from it at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think you're being overly political at all there, Michael. And I think really if you looked at it from the healthcare professional, the practitioner's point of view, whether you be an optometrist, a hospital consultant, a general practitioner, people working in the community, people working in hospital or healthcare clinic settings, the primary thing we should always be holding up in front of ourselves is what we're doing best for our patient. And I think if we want to expand that into a political thing, what's good for our patient is good for the public, and what's good for the public can be good for the profession, and what's good for the profession is ultimately good for society. And I think we've got to move away from the idea of what's the vested interest and put the patient back in the centre of the discussion.
I just find the whole thing quite frustrating because I say that it's a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest. And you're saying, why isn't it being done? Is there just a bureaucracy there that is just has to grind through?
Yeah, well, Optometry Ireland and all of our optometrist colleagues in the community stand ready and willing and available to engage with the Department of Health to implement all of these things. international best practice shows us that there are improvements that can be made, really just in a structural reorganization, not requiring new buildings, new structures, new budget, new money, but just by doing what we do in a different way, we'll deliver better outcomes. And we stand ready to work with whomever, whether whomever be in Dáil Éireann and whomever the minister be, we're standing ready to help implement and enact those policies. In actual fact, we had a massive international conference that Optometry Ireland was hosting in Dublin just last weekend. We had internationally renowned speakers from all over the world, from Haifa and Jerusalem in Israel, from Toronto in North America, colleagues in the lower 48 states, representation from the American Academy, the European Academy, and the World Council of Optometry, all who were able to show and demonstrate how this type of healthcare policy and innovation can improve patient outcomes. Minister Donnelly was very good to send a video message to open our conference, the tenor of which was really positive, and we look forward to future engagement with him in developing and improving things under our Sláinte Care goals.
Yeah, you can see it how it will benefit the hospital services, as in that you'll be triaging people before they go to hospital. You'll be taking somebody. Can we look after them here in the community?
Yeah.
Great. And someone who needs the more specialised supports, they can be pushed on, which gives so much more time to the consultants in a hospital.
Absolutely, Michael. And I think, you know, it's this has been my profession for over 30 years, man and boy, and having worked in all sorts of different environments, we admire and greatly respect our hospital consultant colleagues, and bear in mind, these are medical surgeons who are really at the top of their game as far as techniques, innovation, and the procedures that they can carry out nowadays compared to a number of years ago are extraordinary. You know, we have sight-saving procedures now that just weren't available 10, 15, and 20 years ago. And really, by implementing this type of interdisciplinary practice, we're allowing those consultants, we're freeing them up to do those super wonderful procedures that they're licensed and capable of doing, and perhaps relieving them of some of the outpatient work where they're looking at normal or stable conditions that don't need their expertise to intervene in a surgical fashion. So we're really hoping to help free them up to carry out their work. And I think it's well recognised that for good job satisfaction, is delivered by working at the top of your license. So if you're trained to do all of these wonderful and exciting procedures, you don't want to spend every morning looking at just normal, stable stuff. You want to be in theatre doing these wonderful and exciting procedures.
And tell me, before we finish up, what can our listeners do to push this on? Is it to talk to their local representatives and say, look, what's happening here? Why aren't we bringing more eye care into the community?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that we can all do, Michael. First of all, make use of your local community optometrist. If you have a worry or concern about your child or your children's eyesight or development, go and book an appointment with your local community optometrist and ask them about that. If you do have contact with your local government representatives at council or TD level, do ask them why are they not implementing more of these procedures that will help us all. And where we see things like the cross-border directive sending buses of people to the north of Ireland, or indeed the treatment purchase fund that's paying privately for people to have worked on that they should be done in the public system, then call it out and say, look, that money would be better spent locally, better spent improving our delivery of service.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you as usual. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good morning to you, Michael. Good morning, listeners.
All the best. Slán leat. Bye-bye.
Slán leat. Bye.
There we go. That was John Weldon, and he is the president of Optometry Ireland. And it is a big question out there. Why haven't we started to listen? Why haven't we brought eye care more into the community? It will save us money and get a better service, free up hospitals. I don't know. Go out there and ask why.